You know, these sorts of health tests take years or decades. We all know that we just don't have much information on the health effects. So I have a question for David Stanley with Brunswick County Health and Human Services. You must be getting a lot of calls from the folks that live in Brunswick County asking you what they should be doing. And what are you telling them?
Well, I will say, surprisingly, we've not received a lot of calls. We have received some. And the advice that I tell folks that I call and I speak with are just like would be the information that I tell my family. Just as of note, I'm a longtime resident here of the county. My family goes back here generations, as well as some other panelists here. And so we do share the concerns about the water, and we obviously are, that's something that's in the forefront of different individuals across the state that has been working on this issue around the clock in a lot of cases. And very simply, based on these experts, these toxicologists that we have, epidemiologists, some of which are in the room tonight with the state, that provides and feeds us daily information on the information that they've researched, the information is available. It's really simple that they're not recommending that our general population at this time, or even specific groups, stop using the municipal water. They have taken the studies that they have, and they have put in a health goal that they believe with regards to Gen X specifically would be protective. One of the things, there was some conversation a little while ago about the studies. The studies that we're talking about, of course, are all on animals, and having room there for there to be some future work would certainly be human studies. One of the things when you look at these studies and you're putting together these different factors, there's a lot of different conservative threshold levels you put in those studies in establishing those health goals, because you're having to cross species, and you're having to cross different endpoints on what's chronic and subchronic in the study, and then also, what's a question is the actual amount that you're receiving from the water versus other exposures. One of the presentation that I attended with Dr. Canape in Wilmington, he showed some other routes of transmission of actual, specifically talking about Gen X. And so all these things, we've got folks in the state that are working around the clock on all the way up to the governor. We have heard about his letter and request to not only for there to be increased emphasis on Gen X, but the other emerging compounds that are out there. And so back to the real simple question, what do I tell my family? We still drink the water. We're still drinking the water.
Thank you for that. So this question is about the DHHS health assessment that came out the other day, and it's about the, I think I'm going to direct it to Dr. Brander, who's our toxicologist. And it's about the assumption that 20% of Gen X is coming from water. Does that assumption mean that 20% of Gen X is coming from the water and that 80% of our exposure is coming from somewhere else? How does that work?
I'm not exactly sure how they arrived at the 20%, but to me that seems a bit low, considering that what the limited information we do have about Gen X suggests that it doesn't potentially bioconcentrate as much in foods. We don't know that, but I have to say that I'm not exactly sure how they arrived at the 20% number. I would have to look into that further.
Yeah, definitely.
Dr. Brander, if I may, if I could add a little bit of clarity there. When they were developing the new goal, the health goal of 140 nanograms per liter, that 20% comes from a factor that they put in there with the assumption that no more of someone's Gen X total dosage could be more than 20% from the water. And so that's the assumption, my understanding, when EPA has on studies such as this, and they've been collaborating a good bit with EPA on this new health goal, the assumption is put in there to where no more than 20% of your total absorption or your dose would be able to come from the water. And they put that in to try to make the protective level of 140 nanograms per liter as protective as possible. And they also looked at the subset of the population as far as drinking water to be the most sensitive, and that would be bottle-fed infants, because per their body weight, they would drink more water than anyone else. And so if you're most protective of them, it should cover the rest of the population.
Was just a question, was there any consideration of breastfed infants, considering that other perfluorinated chemicals have been shown to bioconcentrate in bodily fluids?
On as far as the other perfluorinated compounds go, that is where some additional study needs to come from. And our partners with DHHS are coordinating efforts with others that have been mentioned, the EPA and CDC, to try to get at some of those answers.
Dr. Nabi, do you have something to say?
Well, just on the 20%, that actually is perhaps counterintuitive, but that assumption makes the health goal actually more conservative. It lowers the level because the assumption is we get exposed from other places to Gen X rather than just through the water. If it were just through the water, the health goal actually would be higher.
So I think the logical follow-up then, this is probably for you as well, is there any reason to think that there's any other avenues of exposure with Gen X that we know about?
That's a really good question, and we don't know very much right now how Gen X is used, where it is used. A lot of that is confidential business information by Kim Moore, who the clients are. We know that Gen X is used to make Teflon, for example. It's a processing aid to help make fluoropolymers like Teflon or Gore-Tex. It may be in microwave popcorn bag paper, food wrapper paper, things like that. So, but we know preciously little.
Moving to science findings and health, and this may be another David Stanley question. Roger Hsu has a very good question. The Department of Health and Human Services has given cancer occurrence rates for counties in our area, including Brunswick and New Hanover. DHHS said that the cancer rates in the four counties were similar to NC rates, with the exception of the New Hanover County having a slightly higher 20-year rate of testicular cancer in 1996 to 2015, a higher 5-year rate of liver cancer from 2006 to 2010. However, the data needed to be refined to really address impacts from using the Cape Fear River water. Only Wilmington and Northern Brunswick counties have used Cape Fear River water for an extended period of time. The rest of the counties rely on groundwater as their water source. Our view of these two areas would be much more informative. What is your opinion, and can we get DHHS to look at this data?
Wow, there was a lot in that question.
I told you.
So basically, can you isolate Wilmington and Northern Brunswick County?
Yeah. And then do the study.
Let me start by saying that you cannot make a firm correlation, because I really believe that's maybe where the insinuation of the question is going. You cannot make the correlation necessarily by the cancer studies that were made available from DHS and Gen X. The only way that you would be able to say that Gen X for a fact had any influence one way or another on cancer rates in our area would be for there to actually be a study for that. Now, with that being said, as far as looking at our general area and looking at the confidence intervals of the cancer rates for our region, we have not found for those cancers that they were specifically looking for in that data set, have not found anything when you look at standard deviations of there being real increases overall. Back to the question, and I might throw this one off to my utilities director because I believe the question was the actual water supply and where that water source is coming from for New Hanover County versus Brunswick. And while I know that answer, I'm going to let him explain that process, if he will.
Sure. Well, there are multiple sources of supply for New Hanover County and Brunswick County. Brunswick County has two sources of water for the majority of the population. One is the Cape Fear River surface water. We have a 24 MGD plant, and then we have a 6 MGD groundwater plant. I know that Cape Fear Public Utility Authority has a Sweeney plant. It's their largest plant, and they also get source water from the Cape Fear River. But they also have a nanofiltration plant, which my understanding is that is groundwater supply. They may have other sources. I can't speak to that.
John, I've got another question for you from the audience for John Nichols, who runs Brunswick County's public utilities. Will there be a decrease in our water bill since the water poses a harmful threat to all of us?
Well, I think the answer to that has already been given by some of our healthcare experts, and the fact of the matter is that they have indicated that they are not recommending to not use the water. And we use water for a variety of reasons. Bathing being one key thing. I think everybody, whether they choose to drink the water or not, still wants water to come out the tap when they take a shower.
Thank you.
So this question is from a third grader. I'm sorry, I can't read your name. I think you might be in the back row there, or close to the back row. It's, how does Gen X affect the fish and shrimp in the river water? I'm going to direct it to Dr. Cahoon.
Yeah, well, we don't know. Really? We have no idea. We haven't been able to study them. I mean, we've only known about this problem for a short period of time. These compounds are present at apparently fairly low concentrations compared to other things that we do know affect fish and shrimp. Your question's a good one. Do we know if these compounds accumulate in them? When you say fish and shrimp, I imply that you're interested in eating them. And so we don't know how much Gen X or other perfluorinated compounds are assimilated into those different species. I would guess that the body tissues of the fishes and shrimps would be affected differently. Usually we eat the muscles. If you think about a fish fillet or most of a shrimp, chances are that these compounds don't accumulate in that tissue. So it's a complicated question, and we don't have any data. So all I can say is we really don't know.
This question is for John Nichols from the audience. With all the cover-ups from the government agencies, can we as a public expect to get the full truth about the water crisis? And do you think or drink the water with fear, a concern about your health?
Well, I don't know what cover-ups that they're referring to. But as far as the latter part of that question, knowing what I know about the water, I drink the water. I feel it's safe for myself and my family. We recognize that all individuals have to make an individual decision for that.
I think I've asked this question to another panel, and I don't want to ask this panel, is there anyone not drinking the water? Has anyone made the decision for their family to drink tap water? So the doctors. Okay. All right. I just wanted to know.
Damn right.
And real quick, Dr. Brander, do you have a response to that question? Because I saw your face when asked about, again, the cover-up.
I don't want to accuse anyone of covering anything up, but I do want to point to the data that was presented by Dr. Canapi at the beginning of the forum, in that we know Gen X levels are decreasing, but we also know that there are six other chemicals. These all belong to the same... They all belong to the same class of perfluorinated compounds, and one would presume, although we don't have the data yet, that they may act via the same biological mechanisms. They may cause, cumulatively may cause the same types of health effects. So that would be my major concern.
Dr. Cahoon?
It's clear that the presence of Gen X in our drinking water was certainly not disclosed by DuPont and Chemours. So in that sense, there has been a cover-up. All of that, however, is going to be remedied by attorneys. And I can assure you, I know some of the people involved, I can assure you that every single fact relevant to this situation will be brought out, probably in multiple courts of law. There is not going to be a cover-up, because anybody from this point forward who participates in one is going to jail.
Thank you. You know, we've much of the last 6 weeks we've talked about one facility up in Fayetteville, and that's the focus, but there must be other plants discharging potentially harmful chemicals into various drinking water sources and into the Cape Fear River. This question is for our Cape Fear River keeper, Kemp Burdett. Is there some sort of list of all the potential sources upstream, primarily those that are in the chemical or manufacturing industry, that are discharging what have you in the Cape Fear River?
No, there is not a list of all pollutants being discharged into the Cape Fear River. You could review the permits of all point source permit holders in the Cape Fear River, and you could find pollutants that are regulated in those permits, and you could understand what they are being allowed to discharge into the Cape Fear River. You would then probably the next question would be, well, how do you know that they are actually discharging what they're permitted to discharge? We've certainly seen examples of industry violating their permits. Cape Fear River Watch has prosecuted companies that violated their discharge permits and discharged pollutants that they were not allowed to discharge. You will not find a list of pollutants being discharged via non-point sources, either stormwater or agricultural stormwater, and that is a pretty significant list of herbicides, pesticides, animal waste, which includes bacteria, and a host of other pollutants that have serious impacts on our drinking water. And then, like we see here in this situation, you may also run across pollutants that are considered emerging contaminants that are not actually listed in the permits at all, although they are being discharged. And what is particularly concerning about that is that we don't really know, as we're learning with Gen X and other perfluorinated compounds, we don't really know what the impacts of those are or how much of them are being discharged.
And if you don't test for a particular compound, then you're never going to know it's there, correct? I mean, these tests are very specific, directed at specific compounds. There's not this one catch-all test that you throw out there that identifies all the different chemicals in the water, correct?
That's correct.
And would you say, when you're talking about other facilities upstream that are dumping into the river, would you say that number would be in the dozens, or would you describe it more like being in the hundreds?
I would say from point source facilities upstream from Fayetteville, I would call that maybe in the high dozens, but I would maybe defer to Sheila, who would know as far as permitted discharges. She'd probably know better than I do.
Thank you. Sheila?
Thank you. And if I might, I want to go back to the other compounds that were originally found in Dr. Canapi's study. And I just want to reiterate that the state has asked EPA to analyze the samples that have been taken over this six-week sampling period for those compounds. And we'll be looking at those concentrations. Dr. Canapi has indicated a couple that we should probably focus our energy on first in terms of trying to get better health studies. That is, in fact, what DHHS is working to do with our federal partners. So I want to reiterate that point. Regarding the unregulated pollutants, for those facilities that have discharge permits, they're required to analyze their wastewater stream, and they're required to record for those chemicals that are discharged at least 100 micrograms per liter. So there is a recording requirement. The amounts we were seeing most recently from Chemours related to Gen X was about 39 micrograms per liter. So just to put it in context, there is a reporting requirement for the unregulated chemicals, but this particular chemical did not reach that threshold, the federal reporting threshold. And I agree with Kemp, I don't have the numbers with me tonight, but I think upstream of Fayetteville, it probably is in that two dozen range, but we can certainly get those numbers. Regarding the unregulated pollutants, I want to make sure that everyone understands there is an ongoing effort work by EPA to identify those. They have what they call a contaminant candidate list. They have about 97 compounds on it right now. They also have something called the unregulated contaminant monitoring role, where they gather data of these unregulated contaminants. And it's using that data and from studies, and Dr. Canapi was working with EPA in the study that led to the discovery of Gen X in the water system here. It's those kinds of studies that help guide EPA as they work to develop risk assessments. Those risk assessments then allow the states to develop surface water standards, groundwater standards, and we can put permit limits in. So I just want everybody to understand that everyone's not ignoring these unregulated pollutants. There is a prioritization in looking at those compounds that are most likely going to have a negative health impact.